Good afternoon. You're listening to The Trend on WNIN FM. I'm Cass Harrington, and we are singing the blues on today's program. Singing the blues because we're also waiting on setting up a call with the Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band. But in the meantime, I'm so blessed to be joined by Kyle Arnett, the Executive Director of the Henderson County Tourist Commission. Welcome, Kyle.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, and so you've settled into your post as Executive Director just recently.
I wouldn't say settled. I'm settling.
Yeah.
I've got big shoes to fill and a lot to learn. So, you know, being a part of the community and doing what I did in the past did transfer, some of that knowledge did transfer over, but there's a lot that there's still left to learn.
Sure. No need to be modest. I was going to say, this ain't your first rodeo. You were formerly the Henderson Area Arts Alliance Director.
Yes.
So, and that was from 08 to 2013. So.
Yes.
So how had you been involved in the WC Handy Festival before?
Mostly as a sponsor, and then one night a week on Wednesday night, the Arts Alliance would always do, and they still do, they did this year in partnership with the zoo, the hands-on arts activity for the kids. And other than that, I was just I would just a patron, and I would enjoy it. And I haven't jumped in both feet to the Handy Festival, but last night I did get, you know, my toe had been in before, and now my leg is in, and I'm getting deeper and deeper and enjoying every minute. Last night I participated in Red Beans and Rice night and was behind or in the food booth slinging red beans and rice all night. So it's been fun, and it's you know, that feeling, it's like Christmas when the festival comes around, especially when the weather is like this. When you walk into the park and it's just full of people dancing and smiling and the weather, you know, the wind is blowing, and it's just amazing feeling. And we're so lucky to have it in Henderson and that it's free.
That's the best part. But and music, it seems, is flowing in your blood. You went to Belmont. University. And so, I mean, had you ever had an ear for blues music?
You know, actually, it's funny. I never thought that I did. But as I, you know, I have a degree in music, so I had to go through all sorts of different styles. We had to practice different styles in college. And everyone started with classical. You had to have 2 years of classical training before you could go into the different popular styles. And my classical teacher was like, you've got a real sound for jazz. You know, the way that you can bend your voice, it's really, really neat. And I was like, oh, okay. I thought I was a country singer. And then when I ventured off into styles, it was actually, coincidentally, the blues that really stuck. I liked the folky stuff. I could do the poppy stuff. The country I had grown up listening to and singing, but it was the blues and the bending of the notes and everything that really kind of felt right with me.
Huh. Very interesting. Well, and so now you're kind of breathing new life into Henderson tourism in your, you know, your early beginnings. But and what I thought was interesting, I just learned this, that what the whole state considers to be the bluegrass, blues, and barbecue region. I mean, it's not just that Handy thought, well, this would be a nifty title, but it applies to the whole region,
right?
Which is more than just Henderson County. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, actually, yesterday I was helping put together an email blast for the region, but it's Union County, Daviess County, McLean. I'm going to leave out some counties, but a little cluster of counties that do make up the bluegrass, blues, and barbecue, because that is what's most prevalent here. There are several bluegrass festivals, Romp and then ours, Bluegrass in the Park, to name a couple. And then Handy is the biggest blues festival, and I'm not sure that there's really another one that is nearly as big as Handy in the region or in the state. And then barbecue. There's a crazy melting pot of barbecue in Kentucky, but particularly in this region. And what makes that so special? Not that we were going to talk about barbecue too much, but, you know, there's mutton, there's chicken, there is pork. There's just so many different things that are smoked in this region. And then they're not only smoked, but they're dipped, they're sauced, they're rubbed, they're, you know, all sorts of different types of barbecue right here within an hour and a half's drive, probably. So does that no. What was the question?
Well, I wanted to give the listeners a sense of what's going on there, because each region in Kentucky has kind of latched on their signature mm-hmm. industries. Mm-hmm. But what that ties into is kind of your manifesto. I've seen I did a little digging around and found some presentations and research, and it seems that this Bluegrass Blues Barbecue region has seen some good numbers mm-hmm. In terms of tourism in the last year.
For sure. And, you know, all that credit goes back to Marcia and the work that she did for the Bluegrass Festival and the Blues Festival. And it's just exploded. You know, I was next to her last night when we were creating the bowls of red beans and rice, and just thinking to myself, like, how proud are you to sit back here and look at this park that's full of people and know that this was largely in part because of you? And so, you know, we talked about goals before we started the interview, and, you know, I want to do that. I want to create something that so many people can enjoy and want to come to Henderson for. Mm-hmm. I love Henderson, and I feel like it has so much to offer. And part of my job is to figure out how to get people to come here and love it as much as we do.
Well, let me see if I can read the mind of Kyle Arnett. So how much of that, I would imagine, essentially coming from you, lends to the value of art tying to tourism? How much do they go hand in hand, if at all?
Oh, I think they absolutely go. They're both economic development.
I can read your mind.
I mean, the major buzzword in Henderson, and not just Henderson, but is economic development. Mm-hmm. And they're both tourism. That's what it is. And so is the arts, in a way. I mean, it drives that.
And it's not just a pie in the sky thing. There are, you know, the numbers have shown you know, there are more tourists visiting this region so close, just across the river here from Evansville. But also that means more jobs mm-hmm. and wages are up. Mm-hmm. So
it affects, when people come to our town, it affects so many things. It affects, obviously, the hotels, but then the restaurants, those are probably the two biggest ones, but also the gas stations, the shops downtown, and then it just, you know, trickles out into the entire community, and they all see, you know, I'd say the large majority of them see an impact from these tourists coming into our town.
Hmm. Well, let's tie this back over to the festival, WC Handy Blues Festival. Where does that fit into kind of the narrative of the state's tourism?
Hmm. Well, I think something that you get when you come to the Handy Festival, we had some folks in there from Milwaukee, into our office, into the Welcome Center yesterday, that were here for the festival from Milwaukee. And people are so blown away just by the Southern hospitality that they receive, and how proud we are of what we have to offer, not just the Blues Festival, but everything else that they can do while they're in town. So I think just the Southern hospitality aspect and the history and the heritage all are part of the statewide, the whole tourism puzzle. I think maybe that's one really significant way that it ties in.
Hmm. Well, so let's talk about what's ahead. Obviously, after this, I'm going to grab some barbecue and listen to some music. But some of the kind of immediate changes that we've seen since you've taken your post is, I'd say, a very lovely digital campaign. The website, social media is very engaged. What's next? What other kind of fingerprints do you want to leave?
I can't take credit for the website. And social media. That's Jessie. She's our marketing director, and she is fabulous. I'm so lucky to get to go to work and hang out with her all day. But, you know, we have integrated a blog, or more blogs. We already had a really great blog, but we've added to that. And then Tumblr. And then We have changed our social media marketing a little bit, because we've gotten some software and done some training since I've been there that have helped us kind of take it to the next level. So, I mean, obviously what we do is marketing, so we have to stay on our toes and figure out what's hip and what's, because it's always changing.
Do you see anything potential, something new to capitalize on for Henderson and for that region?
Well, I mean, I don't know if this is kind of what you're getting at. But the next one thing that's going to roll out soon in the next few weeks will be I wouldn't call it a campaign, but iPads at the hotels. We're going to roll out a test for iPads. We're going to just start with one or two, put them at the hotels and change them around or move them around to different hotels, you know, week by week or every other week. And those iPads will have visitor information right there at their fingertips, you know, just a button that says, click here if you want to figure out where to eat or what's going on today or where to shop or where to play or all these sorts of different things. So that's one project that we're working on that should be rolling out within the month that we're really excited about. So right now the things that are taking place are small and maybe not noticeable at first glance, but this is all just part of me figuring out, learning the ropes, and then bigger things will start to happen as we go along. I have ideas, but I hate to just spout them off, and then, you know, some of them will fall to the wayside, and, you know, the good ones will rise to the top.
Awesome. You got to see it walk before you run.
Yeah.
well, Kyle, we'll keep an ear out. But thank you so much for joining us on the program.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We're going to take a quick break, then we're talking more blues on today's trend. I'm Cass Harrington.
Support comes in part from Evansville Day School, partnering with parents to offer a student-centered education program for students junior pre-kindergarten through 12th grade. More information at evansvilledayschool.org or 812-476-3039. Support also from Rabin Tyrant Auto Service, a proud sponsor of WNIN programming. Rabin offers a selection of tire brands, including Michelin and Goodyear, along with complete auto service and recommended maintenance by trained technicians. Information on the web at rabintire.com. This is The Trend on WNIN-FM. Listen to some music by Davina and the Vagabonds from Wednesday night's performance at the Handy Festival, and we'll be back in just a moment. Listening to a few snippets of Davina and the Vagabonds, a femme fatale group that performed Wednesday night, and later on we're going to play an interview that Brianna Williams did with her. Fabulous stuff. But right now, let's do kind of an overview of this week's Handy Festival. Our own Daniel Moore talked to festival organizer Doran Luck about the history of the festival, as well as what you can expect from tonight's performances.
Well, tell us a little bit about the history. How did the Handy Fest get started?
The Handy Fest started in Henderson as a result of Marcia Eblin, who was the director of tourism for Henderson for many, many years, having attended the W.C. Handy Festival in Florence, Alabama. Of course, Florence, Alabama was where W.C. Handy lived a good part of his life, and certainly the later part of his life. Marcia saw what the town of Florence had done with the Handy Festival and thought it would be a great idea for Henderson. This was a little before my time because I wasn't in it the first year, but Marcia collaborated with Ken Christopher, a local musician who also does the Bluegrass Festival. And together they came up with the idea and started with, as you can imagine, a single tractor trailer with a homemade canopy on it and a few groups, all of which were mostly local. And from there it blossomed. It was clearly a good idea.
So give us an example of how it has blossomed since then. I mean, it's expanded over the years. And I remember that flatbed, and some of the people I knew in high school played the festival early on.
Right. The festival evolved for a couple of reasons. The biggest change that we made in the festival over the years was when KET, the Kentucky Educational Television Network, decided to film the festival for the first time. We were still using the tractor trailers with homemade canopies on them. We had two trailers then. But that was the year that we decided to switch over to a professional stage. And that made the big difference and enabled us to show a level of professionalism perhaps that we had not shown before. The main thing that's changed, obviously, over the years, and I think it's self-evident by the acts, is the budget of the festival. I can't say for sure what the first budget was for the first year, but I'm satisfied to say it was between $10,000 and $20,000, and now the budget itself is over $100,000, and money clearly buys talent, mm-hmm. And we've been able over the years through the generosity of donors and through the generosity of the music lovers and the fans to continue to put a high grade of music on that stage, and arguably one of the best anywhere in the country for a free festival.
Tell us about the audience size, too. Starting out more humbly, and now you've got people coming from all over to attend.
Correct. We've started with a few people. I can remember many a day early on in this festival when a raindrop would hit the ground and and the aluminum lawn chairs would fold up and the fans with in quotes would go home. Those days are over. We have music fans from all over the country, some from outside the country certainly, but we filled the park up obviously on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, and mostly on Wednesday night. So It's kind of a synergy, Daniel. It's the park size and the our ability to put a certain kind of band up there, a certain quality of band, and the crowds all seem to work together really well. So we fill it up, but we don't make it uncomfortably full.
Well, now this is technically known. The official title is the WC Handy Blues and Barbecue Festival.
That's
so
correct.
Tell us a bit about the barbecue festival.
Initially, the barbecue part of the festival was a part of the Memphis in May barbecue competition, mm-hmm. which was, if you'll remember, was held down in the park north of Audubon Mill Park. Was it Sunset Park, I think?
Exactly.
And so that was a separate event, but it was part of the Memphis in May competition. I can't remember the exact year that the competition stopped, mm-hmm. But we kept the name, and we still continue to serve as much as we can barbecue for the festival.
Well, now let's do a rundown. Now, we were talking earlier about how you said you're high on this the lineup for this festival. Tell us a bit about that lineup.
Well,
I'm
always high on the lineup, obviously, because I book it. But when you look at this lineup this year, there's a lot of variety. When I came in here, I was going to say that 2014 is the year of the harps. I'm going to modify that and say it's the year of the harps, horns, ladies, families, and legends. And by that I mean we start out with legends. Let's talk about the legends. James Cotton and Charlie Musselwhite. Both of those persons are world-class harmonica players who have literally played with everybody. And they've been around forever. Both of those gentlemen have played with the legends from electric blues in the 50s, Muddy Waters, and so on. Charlie Musselwhite recently won a Grammy in 2014 for his album that he just did with Ben Harper, a contemporary musician, mm-hmm. which is really, and we can get into that if you want to, but it really is a continuation of what I hope to be the blues in some genre. That's pretty important. But in any event, those, let's see, I think James Cotton's close to 80 years old. Hmm. And Charlie Musselwhite is no spring chicken, and it's very important to bring these gentlemen on the stage. We've had a number of performers that have played the Handy Festival who are no longer with us. To bring those two legends up here, both in the harp genre, is really a cool thing to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, Friday night is party night, kickback, and everybody is last day of the work week for a lot of folks, so there's some pretty good entertainment lined up for the fest on Friday, right?
Once again, I I'll brag a little bit. This Friday lineup from start to finish is really special. It starts out being special by a fellow named Michael Goff. Y'all probably are familiar with Michael. He's from Bowling Green. He's played with just about everybody, and he's a terrific musician, bass player, singer, songwriter. 3 o'clock is Selwyn Birchwood. That's one of those finds that occur when you keep your ear to the ground. Selwyn Birchwood is an IBC winner, IBC Challenge mm-hmm. winner. That's the international blues competition that mm-hmm. occurs every year. Finals are held in Memphis. Great band, high level, high energy, saxophone player, just the full package, which is really a great thing to have bands of this quality this early in the day. Not that we don't always, but this will be something special. 5 o'clock. This fellow's been on my short list for a while, Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band. But just a terrific band. It's raw, slide-driven, gut bucket, spare music. It's just some of the coolest stuff I've heard. The Reverend's been on my short list for a couple of years. I've worked pretty hard to get him here last year and couldn't get it done, but it's going to happen this year. It goes to the ladies' theme and also to the family's theme, Trampled Underfoot. Let me see if I can get the name right. Danielle Schnebelin. I'm not sure about the pronunciation of the last name, and her brother Nick Schnebelin. But it's a family band, but Danielle is a high-powered singer in her own right, just a terrific singer. And again, it's a high-energy blues/blues rock group, another bucket list or short list mm-hmm. That I've tried to book for a couple of years. After Trampled Underfoot, we have James Cotton. James Cotton is a legend that has played, if you made a list of everybody he's played with in his career, it would cover everybody. Everybody in the blues who is somebody. For years he had his own band. He had throat cancer, I think, in 2000, and he quit singing, unfortunately. He played several years ago, and I will say that he had a crackerjack band then, and I'm confident he'll have one now, and he can still blow the harp like nobody else. We start off Saturday with a group called the Stella V's. That's 11:30 in the morning. I've heard the Stella V's, either Lexington or Danville bass group. One of my favorite blues groups, not only in the state, but in the region. Mm-hmm. Just a terrific traditional blues band, super good musicians. A great spare sound, not overdriven and not processed too much, but just standard straight-ahead blues. We have a fellow named Jonathan Boogie Long, who is from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, a young guitar player. 3 o'clock, we have the Reba Russell Band. Reba is a rhythm and blues singer from Memphis with a crackerjack band full of veterans, the mm-hmm. people that have played with her for years, one of them her husband. Reba has sung with just about everybody. 5 o'clock, Homemade Jams, another family band. That would be Ryan Perry, Kyle Perry, and Taya Perry. I think Ryan is the oldest of the group, and he's 21 years old. You hate to pigeonhole people, but it's a Mississippi Hill country type sound. Very spare, but it's well done, and these kids are a delight. We're looking forward to having them there again, IBC Challenge winners. The band at 7 o'clock, Damon Fowler, Victor Wainwright, and J.P. Soares, who are the three members of Southern Hospitality as leads, in their own right are terrific musicians, songwriters, and singers. But the combination of these three guys is just incredible.
It sets the stage for
Charlie Musselwhite. we've had Charlie before, and in the world of the blues, when you get past BB, there aren't that many legends. Buddy Guy would certainly be one, but Charlie Musselwhite is a legend in his own right and has played, as has James Cotton. Charlie in his career has played with all of the great blues masters and been on many, many, many recordings of these blues masters. That's the second legend on Saturday night, so that's two harmonica legends in 2 days, which is a pretty good effort, I think. We've been blessed. Quite frankly, we've been blessed in every way that I can imagine. A great idea to begin the festival, a group of dedicated, hardworking people who continue to put this festival on year after year with the passion that it takes to make it happen every year and to make it and make it happen right. I believe we do this festival right, and I think any of the performers will tell you that it's one of their favorite places to play, which I would argue is that one of the highest compliments we could have. Terrific fans, terrific venue. It's really, as I said before, it's a synergy of a lot of good things that has turned into one great thing. So we thank all of our fans and anybody who supports us. Come on out and see us again.
That was our own Daniel Moore speaking to WC Handy Blues and Barbecue Festival organizer Doran Luck. The festival continues today and tomorrow. WNIN's live broadcast coverage of the festival begins tonight at 6 p.m. Central. Well, joining me now in the studio is Brianna Williams. She hosts Here and Now on WNIN and also Science Fridays. So, thanks for joining me, Brianna.
Finally. Gosh.
It's so good to have you on the trend. Well, we kind of had the listeners, gave them a little sneak preview of Davina and the Vagabonds, which to me, it caught my ear because you rarely, let's be honest, you rarely hear a feminine voice in blues music.
Right.
So piqued my curiosity, wanted to talk to you some more because I understand you sat down and had a pretty lively conversation with
very lively.
What without giving too much away, what struck you about talking with Davina?
I think the thing that struck me the most was her saying that I asked her music inspirations, and she said Aretha Franklin was on the top list. That before her sets, while she's in the car, she's putting on her makeup and singing to Aretha Franklin all the way there. So I think that was the icing on the cake right there.
Awesome. That sold you. Well, and her style for blues goes beyond the vocals. Also, she's kind of inked up. You asked her about her tattoos.
Very, very inked up. I didn't know that until I saw her, so that struck a chord with me. I mean, I have a couple, but she's has way more than I do. But every one of them has a meaning, and I asked her the most memorable one, and it was the one that had pray, because she said that's an everyday thing. So
awesome. Well, Brianna, let's have a listen to your interview. I've got more questions for you, of course, so stick around.
Okay. You grew up in Minnesota. How was that growing up there?
I actually didn't grow up in Minnesota. I grew up on the East Coast in Pennsylvania, and then they weren't ready for me. So I left when I was really young and moved quite a gypsy until 10 years ago when I stationed myself in Minneapolis. But I can tell you about Minnesota. It's wonderful. I wouldn't have this thing I call a career if it wasn't for the Twin Cities. I had no idea that Minneapolis and St. Paul was such a thriving music community. So it was really just a blessing that I moved there. It was just, I had no idea at all. So I love the Twin Cities a lot.
So how did you get started in this genre of music?
Well, my mom was a folk singer, so I grew up in the music community in Pennsylvania, as small as it was. And my father, who adopted me through marriage, so it was, you know, my mom was married again and he adopted me, and he was born in 1902. And so I grew up listening to his 78s, and I grew up listening to my mom's vinyl, anything from like Black Sabbath to Melanie to Simon and Garfunkel, all this folk music and heavy, you know, the English blues music, the English revolution that came with the, you know, the Beatles and the Stones and Led Zeppelin. And that kind of got me introduced to the blues. And then I had my father, who loved just that eerie sound of like those 78s with like Fats Waller and just all these phenomenal pre-war turn of the century music that I grew up with. And, you know, and then I'm a sucker for a singer-songwriter. So, you know, in my generation, you know, I listen to the music that is of my generation as well. So it kind of just fused into whatever genre you want to call this band. And I have no idea what you want to call the Vagabonds.
And I was
gonna ask that. Yeah. It's, you know, it's just a melting pot. It's everything that I love. You know, I write a majority of, I think it's 75-25 at this point, 75% of my originals and 25% covers. So, you know, but you still get that nostalgia even in my covers, you know, which I really love to do because I just love Definitely born in the wrong era. I'm not sure which era I should be born in, but, you know, so.
You play a wide range of instruments. How did you get started playing those, or who taught you?
I think my mom was a real advocate on me being an individual. She taught me, even musically, you know. She played the guitar, and so I picked up a few things from her. I'm a horrible guitar player, but, and then, you know, that with that came kind of the ukulele, so I play around with that. But I'm truly a piano player. I've been playing since I was six, and I don't even know if I'm truly a piano player either. I always say I'm a singer that plays piano. But, you know, it just growing up with a really encouraging mom that really, at the time, I didn't realize, but she was like, practice, 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 and, you know, and then that just,
that's where I am. Now, do you play any of those instruments, like, in your songs? Are you...
I play piano majority of the time. I'm not sure if I'll do the ukulele. I did bring it. I kind of have to read the crowd first to see what kind of music they really want. But yeah, yeah, you know, I've always played piano from the beginning. We've never had a guitar, so it's, you know, piano, trumpet, trombone, upright bass, drums. So I'm the only real chordal structure next to the bass and the rhythm section. So
what would a ukulele crowd sound like?
You can just smell them out. No, I'm just joking. You know, it's the songs that I do are a little bit more mellow, so I kind of want to see, you know, if the people who come to WC Handy Blues and Barbecue Festival are a throwdown type of crowd, or if they're a listening type of crowd, or if they're both. And, you know, I think that that'll be a good clue on which songs. I never write a set list, so it's really difficult. Yeah, unless I'm, like, super under heat. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm doing something on PBS or something, and they're really limited on time. But other than that, I just call them because I really want to see what the crowd is enjoying and what I feel that they would really love. Because that's the reason we do what we do, is for the crowd and for the people that come and listen.
And your group is the Vagabonds. How did that come together?
The band name or the band itself?
Both.
Both?
We can say both.
When I first started off, you know, I had so many interchangeable players, you know, they just came and went, they dropped like flies, you know, so I thought it would just be, and my goal was made to travel. I've always personally been a vagabond, so, you know, when I first started the band, I was still fresh on my learning how to be a grounded person stuck to one place, so I felt that it was just something that little did I know would form, you know, us traveling 300 plus states a year, but we truly are vagabonds. We truly travel, and you know, and with the band, you know, Minneapolis is like I had said before, a huge thriving musical city. It's insane how much music comes from the Twin Cities. I never thought that it, you know, who thinks of Minneapolis and Minnesota as being that way, and moving there, I mean, there's just, we have so much winter time and so much time to practice and so much time to be creative and musician. So I got to be able to really pick from a huge, you know, pool of musicians, and that's how I ended up with the guys that I have now, my full-time guys I've had for quite some time.
So now meeting you, and I see that you have tattoos.
Yeah.
What's your favorite tattoo and, like, its meaning? That means the most to you?
That means the most? I mean, I would definitely say this one. I hate to, but it's, you know, prayer. I'm a huge fan of prayer. I'm a believer in prayer. And then I would say my songbird, I think, is the most. I'm going to get knuckle tattoos. Did you ever see them?
No.
My mom's going to kill. Sorry, Mom. I'm still thinking about it, Mom. I don't know. But I want to get boss lady. But I don't know. We'll see. Maybe next time I see you, I'll have something.
Out of all your performances, what would you say is your best one that you just, or the best city you've been to?
Oh, my goodness. That's really, really just, there's so many different reasons I love so many different cities that we travel to, you know. I've had phenomenal experiences, maybe per se for that specific festival, but not for that city, you know. But, you know, Memphis, I go there. I love it. The people are phenomenal. The barbecue is great. I love food. St. Louis, same reason. The people are, you know, creative people. Monterey Jazz Fest was probably a huge highlight of my career last year, and we got invited back this year to do the main stage. So I'm really excited about that. But I would say, genuinely, that every city I go to, and I'm not copping out, like I'm not trying to be diplomatic, but every city I go to, there's always a reason that I want to come back, and it can vary for so many different reasons. So
who are your music inspirations?
I have so many. That's another hard one. Like, I warm up to Aretha Franklin. You know, she's mm-hmm. She's like who I warm up to when I'm putting my makeup on. I'm like, y'all no good, heartbreak. I'm like, put my eyeliner on. You know, I'm driving to my gig. That's what I listen to. But piano-wise, you know, Fats Waller, Fats Domino, Professor Longhair. You know, there's all these piano players that I... Randy Newman for songwriting. So many different. It's insane. You know, I'm just a sponge, and I love all... What I love is what I love, so it's hard for me to narrow it down.
I just saw Chaka Khan, so I'm a big fan of Chaka Khan and Aretha Franklin.
They're both, like, these strong women, you know, that during that era when they were singing, those were things that were catered to helping women feel stronger, which really wasn't a constant threshold of music from the beginning, so it's really amazing with them because they're just straight up like, this is me. Deal with
take
it,
it or leave it.
Take it or leave it. And that, I think, was history in, you know, right in the making of them being able to stick up for, I'm not trying to play the woman card or anything, but it's really good to listen to that because that's not real common in some of the, you know, music prior, you know.
Right.
So
what's next for you in the Vagabonds?
In the Vagabonds? Oh, we just came out with a CD. It's going to be released July 15th. That's our national release. I'm really excited for that. So, you know, kind of touring on that, Monterey Jazz Fest, like I'd said, we're going to Europe next week. We're going to be in Switzerland. Just keep traveling, keep doing this, you know, keep making people happy and trying to be as creative as I can in the process. You know, that's definitely the goal for me. And for the Vagabonds, I think it's just putting up with me. I think that's their short-term goal. And enjoying the traveling and, you know, enjoying the performance perspective of it, so...
So with for someone who's just going to Handy Fest the first time, yeah. seeing you perform for the first time, what do you want them to take away from your performance?
Smiles. You know, I just want them to take away a good feeling. I want them to, I want us to stick out, but not just because of the goal in mind for me to have people remember me, but just so they can say, that was such an amazing time. I felt so good. I couldn't stop moving my feet. You know, and a CD. It'd be nice if they took away CD too.
This part, right? Well, thanks.
Thanks
for
so
your
much.
Time.
Thank you.
Can't wait for your set.
Thank you so much.
That was WNIN's Brianna Williams talking to Davina of Davina and the Vagabonds, who performed on Wednesday night at the Handy Festival. Brianna, what struck me about that conversation is she obliterated like every stereotype, conventional norm of what a blues musician is. I mean, there's this idea of this is how it sounds, this is what they're like, and she's a pretty awesome woman on top of it.
Yeah, I think that's what I liked about her the most, being so laid back and so easy to talk to. And then her music is not just one genre. It's a mix that she just puts together and she's like, okay, you're gonna like it.
Well, and I guess you stuck around for her performance. She said she doesn't have a set list. So what was that like? Was she really like feeding off, like, is this a ukulele crowd?
Yeah. Like, yeah. The ukulele came at like towards the end of it. But You could just hear her calling out, you know, the songs. We're going to do this song. And she calls it out. And then she goes one, two, three. And then they start. So, I mean, it was amazing.
Awesome. Well, Brianna, thanks. Thanks for sharing that conversation with us. And joining us on the trend. Hope
and
to have
we have
you back.
We have to say hi to Davina because I'm pretty sure she's listening right now.
All right. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to The Trend. I'm Cass Harrington. We're going to take a break on today's show all about the blues.
We're going to do an original for you. Gonna tear us apart. Hell no. Because you got it. You got my heart in your pocket. I'll bring it out when you want love. When you want love. I do, but got it. You got my heart in your pocket. I'll bring it out. I'll bring it out. I'll bring it out. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah.
a love song. And let you know I'm a thing. It has been so many years now, and we both had our arms and our down so. Now there's nothing, 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 nothing gonna tear us apart because I got them. You got my heart in your pocket.
You're listening to The Trend on WNIN-FM. Good afternoon to you. I'm Cass Harrington. Well, that was Davina and the Vagabonds, who Brianna interviewed on Wednesday. Good stuff. You could hear her calling out the track right before it started kicking in. That was fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I think she should have been the headliner.
Yeah.
No offense to John, but I just love her.
Everybody has an opinion. Yeah. Go, Brianna. Well, so Kyle Arnett from the Tourist Commission decided to hang around. She was having too much fun.
After I chased her.
Chased her out at the parking lot. Well, so we're still trying to get a band on the phone, but in the meantime, I just wanted to chat festival. Mm-hmm. Kyle, you were slinging the red beans last night.
And rice.
And rice.
Yes. And the red beans does have sausage in it, just so you guys know.
So if you're vegan, FYI.
Or even vegetarian, stay away. But yeah, I fortunately was grandfathered into the position of rice or red beans. Mm-hmm. Baptism by fire would have been cash registers.
Okay, so you just got thrown right in there.
Right, so I got the easier task of just, scooping the, massive quantities of rice.
And for the listeners who don't know, this is kind of a special, it's a special food stand. It's actually part of the big fundraiser night.
It is. So on Thursday night, every Thursday night during Handy Fest, it's Zydeco night, and the only food booth that you can get any food from is the festival's own red beans and rice stand, and there's also andouille sausage, which we heard so many different pronunciations of last night.
Give us one.
Andouille was popular. smoked sausage, and then hot dogs for the folks that don't like the smokier sausages. But again, it's the only place you can get food on Thursday night, and all the proceeds, which there are a lot of, go back to next year's festival. So, typically, I asked last night if there had been many years where they hadn't sold out of red beans and rice and bread pudding, that's another one, and the sausages, and there were very, very few, and it was mostly because of the weather.
Wow, that's amazing. It's, a flavorful festival.
It's really, goes really much, cool.
So much fun.
Well, and it's a community effort. It's interesting how much civic engagement
absolutely
has been brought around it. Well, turns out the Reverend Peyton's big damn band is on the phone, and they are on the road right now. So we're going to kick it over to them. Is this the Reverend Peyton on the phone?
It is. How's it going?
Hi, good afternoon. I'm Cass Harrington. So glad to have you, and I apologize. I hear we interrupted your lunch.
Yeah, it's all right. There were some phone difficulties over there at the station, but that's all right.
Yeah, that's all right. Yeah, we're just rolling here. Improv as usual. But it's so good to talk to you.
We finally were able to connect. I'm so glad about it.
Well, so you're on the road right now. You're taking the stage at 5 o'clock. Where are you right now? Where are you leaving from?
Well, we left from, let's see, where were we last night? We're in Henderson right now.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so we're here in town now. We're not on the road anymore, but we were in Richmond, Virginia. That's where we were. Richmond, Virginia. So it's
a little bit
of a haul.
And you're not slowing down. I understand you're going to Delton, Michigan tomorrow, and then Ireland next week.
Yeah, we're going to be in Europe for 5 weeks, so starting next week. And then a West Coast tour right after that, like immediately right after Europe. So.
Huh. Well, I wondered about Ireland. It seems like they've kind of acquired a taste for the blues recently. Andrew Hosier Byrne, you know, as Hosier, the 24-year-old kind of one-man band, has been getting a lot of coverage lately. Do you have an explanation why it seems like the Irish have a taste for the blues?
Well, everybody in Europe, they love real American music. And, you know, people will say that, like, Europeans don't like Americans or they don't like our culture or whatever, but it's not true. It's not true. And especially when it comes to our music, they love real American roots music. And when real Americans go over there and play and do it legit, then, you know, they really get a kick out of it. So, you know, we do a lot of shows in Europe now and all over, as far east as Bulgaria, mm-hmm. as far north as Finland and Norway, and this tour here, which is going to be mainly in the United Kingdom and Ireland. But also, we're going to go to Belgium and Wales, a few other places.
So you essentially are America's export.
Yeah, we are. I always tell people we instead of dropping bombs, we should drop records.
There you go. Well, let's talk about your background, Reverend. You hail from Brown County, Indiana.
That's right.
Which is often woven into your songs. Did you grow up listening to the blues?
Yeah, you know, I did, particularly country blues. That's what always spoke to me. So I grew up in a very rural setting, and you know, that music always seemed to just make more sense to me. And you know, the style, the fingerstyle country blues guitar, you know, it's the most difficult style of guitar that, you know, America has produced. It still blows my mind, you know, the what you can do with one guitar. You know, the first time I heard someone like Charlie Patton play and it sounded like two people playing, I was hooked. I mean, I was absolutely hooked.
Well, and you have a bit of a repertoire of guitars, including a cigar box guitar. What's in store for tonight?
Well, I'm bringing five guitars to the show tonight, and I'll probably play each one of them, including one of my cigar box guitars, if not two cigar box guitars. We'll see how I feel and how much of a set length they give me, too.
There you go. Well, you know, correct me if I'm wrong. Your music, for the most part, strikes me as a kind of dancey, knee-slapping kind of good time. And I'm thinking of your song, oh, it seems like we've cut out with the Peyton. Disconnection with Reverend Peyton's Big Damn Band. They're taking the stage tonight at 5 o'clock. Well, we'll have more coverage with our live concert at 6 o'clock. Oh, looks like we've got them back on the phone. You're listening to The Trend. We're doing a special on the WC Handy Blues Festival. It looks like we've got the Reverend Peyton back on the phone.
Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know what happened.
Oh, it's all right. Well, we got you mid-question. So,
what was that? Say it again. I'm sorry.
Well, I was talking about your music overall. It's got this dancey, kind of knee-slapping feel to it, like the song Clap Your Hands. But one song in particular really struck me. I'm from Kentucky. And the song Don't Grind It Down is a plea.
Yeah.
It's a plea to save the mountains. You say these hills are in my blood. Where does that come from?
Well, I mean, you know, we come from Brown County, Indiana, you know, and it's just like, you know, here in Henderson. I mean, the hills are, you know, just a part of the culture, you know, and not too far from where we live in Southern Indiana, the largest strip mine on planet Earth is nestled in the Southern Indiana hills. You know, it's they take these mountains and they turn them to dust. And it's not like, you know, when you cut down a tree and a tree can grow back, you know, a mountain never grows back. And that's what that song's about, you know?
So you have a little bit of an activist flavor as well.
Well, I mean, you know, just certain things that bother me, and that bothers me. I mean, you know, I know we got to get that stuff somehow, and it employs a lot of people and keeps the lights on, but it just seems like there's a better way to do it. Used to, you dig a hole, guys would go down the hole and bring the stuff back up, and while that was dangerous work, you know, it was you didn't have to tear an entire mountain down to dust and all the things that go along with that, you know. So I just feel like there's got to be a better way. A lot of people making a lot of money, so I feel like when that happens, they you know, you ought to put their feet to the fire and make sure they're doing it the the best way they can, you know.
Well, Reverend Payton, real quickly, I want to give the listeners a sense of what to expect tonight. Did I hear that you requested ammunition for your performance tonight?
We have for our stage rider, we keep a handful of interesting things on there, and you know, beef jerky is one of them. You got to have beef jerky, and then sometimes ammunition. And that started out really as kind of a thing where when you put ammo on your rider, you almost always get paid.
So, all right. Well, that I think pretty much will give the listeners a sense of what's going on tonight. Reverend Payton, thank you so much for taking my call. But WNIN will be out there tonight, so we'll be listening,
so
looking for you.
We'll see you there.
All right, enjoy the barbecue.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was the Reverend Jay Payton. He and his band, Reverend Payton's Big Damn Band, the blues trio that takes the stage at 5 o'clock tonight in Henderson. That wraps up today's program on the blues. I want to thank Miss Brianna Williams, Kyle Arnett for sticking around in the studio with me.
You're welcome.
So good to have you ladies. This is The Trend, a production in collaboration with the Evansville Courier and Press. This episode was produced by myself with much help from Brianna Williams and Daniel Moore. Steve Berger engineered today's program, and Paola Marisan is our intern. The theme music was written by the talented Jeffrey Osman. And I'm Cass Harrington. This is WNIN-FM, Evansville, Henderson, and Owensboro.